confident staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, May 18th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as I have a wonderful discussion with, guess who? Anglican Church Women. Today, I actually have the president of the Anglican Church Women, who is Miss Charlene Rogers, right? And she brought one member with her, and I can have her physically introduce that person so I can know the right position. But I want to know, what is Anglican Church Women? I hear you all having a big conference coming up soon. I want to hear about that. And I heard that every woman in the Anglican Church is kind of excited about this particular conference. So I want to get some more detail about that in general. But without further ado, let me introduce to you Miss Charlene Rogers. Go ahead, Miss Rogers.
Good morning.
So what is Anglican Church Women, first of all?
So the Anglican Church Women, we formed the organization of the diocese. We were first established in 1963 under Bishop Markham, and he was Lord Bishop from England. And when he came here, in other parts of the world, you would have had the Mothers Union. And so with us having a large female population within the Anglican Church, he decided to get us involved. And so back then in 1963, he would have gathered interested women to join or form the Anglican Church Women. So the first branch was established back in August 1964. That is when the first meeting was held. And I'm sure some of our listeners can identify with some of the persons. So we had like Mrs. Louise McSweeney, who was the president at Christ Church Cathedral. We would have had Mrs. Leona Hannah, president at St. Agnes, Mrs. Anathol Rogers, who was president at St. Mary the Virgin, Mrs. Ethel Kemp at St. Barnabas. We would have had Mrs. Mary Doris Stevenson, who would have been the president at St. Matthew's Church, and Mrs. Gloria Wells, president at St. George's. So their first official meeting took place on November 4th, 1964. And then within this group, they formed the officers. So the first elected officers were Mrs. Mary Doris Stevenson. She was then president. Mrs. Leona Hannah was vice president. Mrs. Louise McSweeney was secretary. And Mrs. Ethel Kemp was treasurer. And so basically, they functioned to form the council.
And I appreciate that, and especially the history. But I also want to know, what is Anglican Church Woman? Mind you, my wife is a part of the Anglican Church Women Association, right? But I don't necessarily know exactly what all do you all do. So kindly explain, like, what is the role of an Anglican Church person?
So our focus really is for prayer, reflection, devotion, pursuing spirituality actively, and also going out there, reach out to other women within the church as well as outside the church. And so we find times where we will gather. Basically, every branch has a monthly meeting. So you will have your monthly meeting where you discuss the business as well as other activities that you will do within the community. We also have corporate worship. So once a month, every branch will have a Sunday that they are assigned where we come together and we would worship.
And when you say every branch, what do you mean by that?
So if you look throughout the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands, most of our churches, we do have an active ACW branch. So this caters to young ladies from 18 years and up. So within the branch, once you would have, and just to talk a little about our membership, so really you are required to attend like three meetings. So we would go out, we'd canvass the ladies, they would come into the meetings, and once they express, you know, that interest and they're willing to commit, then after three meetings, you're officially welcoming as a member of that branch. And so we look forward to the monthly meetings and other activities that we do outside of the meeting, you know, whether it's going to visit the sick and shut-in, perhaps just doing something socially together. So it is a sisterhood. I would say it is a sisterhood where we walk and support one another.
My mother-in-law, Stephanie Francis, was active in Anglican Church. She's going all kind of trips.
Yes, yes. So
always away. And they said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going with AACW. And they said, what's that trip about?
Okay, so we do have conferences that were held not only in New Providence, but you would find historically we have conferences within the Family Islands as well. So every other year, you can find that a conference would be hosted in one of the Family Islands. We also have what we call the Presidents and Vice Presidents Conference that is held in the last weekend of February in each year. So this year we went to the Berry Islands, and there were 126 of us in that particular dealing with different speakers we have, addressing topics, you know, just that continually create awareness within the ACW group.
Well, I'm kind of excited. But I know you mentioned on that persons 18 and over, right? I always thought it was for like matured ladies. Right? Well, senior married women, them, no, the mothers of the church. You all have young people inside the Anglican Church, women?
Of course we do.
You do?
And right here with me, we have Miss Janae Francis, who's one of the younger members.
Yeah, because she's a young woman.
But yes, she is. So we do attract women, like we say, 80 right up to the seniors. And we can identify with one another. We learn from one another. We have the more mature ladies of wisdom that really share with us. We too, as the younger generation, there are things that we share. So the coming together really helps to create a strong fabric, a strong foundation on which we stand.
So let me get Miss Janae Francis Ingram involved, right? Because you're a young woman, right? I'm used to seeing senior women inside the Anglican Church women. And I'm assuming that this is an executive board that you represent, Miss Rogers?
Yes.
And then there's regular branches that have their own president and board in general.
Right.
Miss Ingram, what do you do in the executive board, or are you part of that executive body?
Well, I've been invited by Madam President to provide support on the Sales and Advertisements Committee mm-hmm. for the Anglican Church Women's Council.
Okay.
And it's just been a learning experience. This is now my second year working along with Madam President. It's been very interesting. The sisterhood that she spoke about, it is truly there. I can speak from my branch level. I represent the St. Matthew's Anglican Church women, which is known as the Ark in the Pond. We have about 80 members strong. We have, out of that 80 member, we have about 10 persons that represent 40 years and younger.
Nice.
And they are all
10?
Yeah, at least 10 of us.
Oh.
And everyone is active. For me, joining the ACW, initially it was out of a family lineage obligation, but as time progressed and as I became more involved, I am very grateful for the decision that I made. She spoke about the sisterhood. The sisterhood is definitely there. Earlier this year, I had a personal situation, and I found that my sisters were there. They were praying with me. They were supporting me. They came and visited with me, and it's good to have that comfort, that security, and knowing that you have a big sister or even a little sister that you can call on that can provide you with Christian, genuine support.
Oh, I'm impressed with that. Let me go back to Madam President Rogers, right? I know there are various branches. I'm not sure how many Anglican church there are between the Turks and Caicos Island and the archipelago of the Bahamas, right? I don't know the number. But how do you have that sisterhood amongst the churches to say, well, I'm coming from St. Matthew's or I'm coming from St. Anne's Church, right? And I have a connection with St. Agnes, with St. Barnabas ACW women. How do you get that camaraderie
Okay, so we have about 55 branches throughout the...
55?
Yes, throughout the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. So one of the venues that we meet regularly will be at the anniversary services. So that gives us a chance to go and support each branch. And then I mentioned...
What do you mean by anniversary services?
So each branch, so the ACW this year, overall we are celebrating our 59th anniversary. And this is the 50th conference session. So as I would have mentioned, there are some branches that were formed initially. So then each year on the anniversary of that branch, mm-hmm. a service is held. The sisters would come. There may be other supporting activities for that anniversary, perhaps a prayer breakfast. We have a lot of the spring tea and fashion shows. And they're just concerts. A lot of activities that are, so it is open to all sisters. So we will come together and we go from branch to branch supporting one another. And so that creates that sisterhood. You get to meet that sister from St. Agnes and Matthews, Christ the King, etc.
So let's start conference. This is your 50th conference.
Yes.
And you've been around for 59
yes,
years.
59 years.
And what should I expect or what should Anglican women expect on the conference? Who all can attend this conference? Can every Anglican woman attend this conference? Or you have to be a member of the ACW? Or what is it?
Okay, so just to speak about our conference, and so we've had the proclamation by the Prime Minister. So next week has been declared Anglican Church Women Week. So we want all of our Anglican sisters to make sure that you are participating. So
is it a week-long event?
Yes.
Okay.
We have of activities. So last Saturday, we kicked off with a walkathon at Goodman's Bay. So sisters from all over would have walked. That's in New Providence. Simultaneously, this also took place in a number of our family islands. So we walked. So this week, Saturday, coming Saturday the 20th, we will start with a toast to 50. It's an elegant all-white affair for the Anglican women, where we are going to be honoring all presidents that served as presidents in 1973. So we are really excited about it.
Nice.
There are some 23 persons that we will honor, of course, some posthumously, but we are so pleased that President, Consul President back then, Mrs. Gwen Turner.
Mm-hmm.
She will be in attendance.
In attendance, nice.
Yeah, so 50 years ago, she saw the need for us to establish this conference sessions. So we're really looking forward. So Saturday, St. John's College. If you need to get tickets, please reach out to the ACW.
How much for tickets?
$60.
Okay, so mayor,
$60. It's at the Emerald Room, St. John's College. So we still have a few tickets. On sale, we ask you to contact Mrs. Janice Reish should you need a ticket. Okay, so that is on Saturday. On Sunday morning at 7 a.m., what we did for this 50th conference, we decided to look at our logo. So we have a special logo we will be unveiling,
mm-hmm.
and that is at Christ the King, Ridgeland Park. Again, our sisters will come together. Christ the King President Dean will host our sisters who are coming in from conference or anyone from the branches. We will have the unveiling of our logo. We had that. We gave that competition among the youth.
You had a competition?
Yes, we had a competition. And so the winners will be officially announced on Sunday, and that's at the 7 a.m. Mass at Christ the King, Ridgeland Park on Sunday. And then we have our 59th anniversary service that will take place later on Sunday at Christ Church Cathedral, George Street.
Okay.
And so we will line up at 2:30. There is a march that we look forward to.
So I should expect a sea of white.
Oh, yes. Oh, the white. It would be it's the radiant white.
It's something to see, something to take pictures of.
Yes.
Spectacle. I can imagine.
So we look forward to that march. It's the procession of witness of the Anglican Church women. So we will process from Christ Church Cathedral, George Street. We go on to Bay Street, Parliament Street, on to Shirley.
Nice.
Then we come over Cumberland and we return to the cathedral. And the service will begin at 4 p.m. Our celebrant and preacher is our patron, the Lord Bishop Leish Boyd. Mm-hmm. Okay, so ladies will gather. We also have the induction of new members. We spoke about members joining. So those members who would have joined the ACW since last year, May, into the beginning of this month, who would have met the criteria, we anticipate some 60 ladies will be officially inducted into the ACW. They will receive their pins from the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Also, during that service, we will also recognize our ladies who are being awarded as well for the 50th conference. We would recognize them. We also have our special commemorative pin for this 50th anniversary. And then from there, we will have a little meet and greet afterwards, and our conference sessions begin officially on Monday morning. We start with morning prayer at Christ the King, Ridgeland Park at 7 a.m. Now, Monday's session is a closed session. That is the early morning part. This is where we go into our annual elections for the ACW Council. And then for after that, we go into Mass, midday Mass at 12 noon. And after that, we go to lunch, and we do have a luncheon speaker. We have Miss Emily Miller, and she will be speaking on flora arrangements. Then later in the afternoon, we do have Chief Magistrate Joyanne Pratt Ferguson, who will be speaking to us. We take a break at 4, and we come back at 6 p.m. for the evening session. And we have two speakers for the evening session. We have Dame Janet Boswick, who will be speaking to us, and Attorney Carol Munnings Mizowak. She will be our speaker. We also will have the National Youth Choir and their Department of Corrections Band. So we have an exciting evening all lined up. We meet again on Tuesday morning at 7, and Tuesday morning we are focusing on women's health. So we will have Dr. Jill Marsh, Gibson Marsh, who will speak to us on dentistry. And we also have Dr. DeSaurus that will speak to us on women, female issues, etc. And then our lunchtime speaker is Mr. Arnold Dorset. He will speak to us on backyard farming. And after that, we have a social outreach, and this is where the ACW women get together. There will be distribution of food and clothing at Christ the King. So we have been doing this for a number of consecutive years now. So this is where we reach out to help the less fortunate. We provide a meal, we provide a food bag, and then their clothing that we will distribute to help others. And then we come back later at 6 p.m. again, and we will have Her Excellency Leslie Miller Bryce, who will speak to us on, you know, the ongoing activities for our Road to 50 in the Bahamas. Following her, we will have Inspector Kendra Williams from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and she will speak to us on gender-based violence. So we are looking forward to that. And then we will conclude with one of our own ACW sisters, Maria McIntosh from St. Stephen's in Grand Bahama. She will do the closing for us. And we also will have the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Band in-house as well. They've been with us last year, so we do appreciate the support of all of the bands that will come together. And then we would have some fun after all of the conference and the speakers, etc. So we will be at Super Club's Breezes on Wednesday. We'd meet there at 9:30, so it'll be a day of fun and relaxation for the ladies. And our host for the activities will be the actual vice presidents of the ACW. They have a lot of fun for us. So in a nutshell, that is what our conference will be like.
I'm excited for you. I'm jealous to have not females. I can come in and join. But before you go, give me the names of your executive body. I just want to give pay tribute to them and recognize
them. Okay, sure. So we have a wonderful team that we work with. So our vice president is Mrs. Andrea Francis, that is of the ACW Council. Our secretary is Mrs. Deborah McKinney. Our assistant secretary is Mrs. Monique Dossett. Our treasurer is Mrs. Helen Ingram. Our assistant treasurer is Mrs. Janice Weish. And then we do have what we call our archdeaconry coordinators. So in the north, we have Mrs. Elizabeth Carey that takes care of the Family Islands and Persons in the north. Then we have the East Central Archdeaconry, and we have Mrs. Sandra Burrows. And for the west, we have Miss Donnell Evans. So she takes care of our churches that come under the west. And in the south, we have Mrs. Willamae Bridgewater. And the south takes care of the Family Islands as well as the Turks and Caicos Islands. And so we are really excited. We have our sisters who are coming in today. We know we have a group that's coming in from the Turks and Caicos Islands this evening. So from this evening on through to Friday, we have our sisters flying in. We also have a special guest who will be coming in as well from Belize.
Nice.
Yeah, she wants to see what the ACW is all about. So we're looking forward, and hopefully she would be able to form a branch maybe the end of the year or next year. So the ACW is a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking with Ms. Charlene Rogers, who's the president of the ACW Council, and they're having a conference. When is the conference going to start?
So we will kick off on Saturday morning with our luncheon, our prayer, praise, and luncheon, the Toast to 50. It's an all Elgin white affair. Mm-hmm. So come out in your white outfits, and we start there where we pay tribute to our presidents who would have served in 1973.
And when will the conference end?
We go straight through to Wednesday. There's a break on Thursday, but as a part of our week, we do have one of the charities we'd be working with. We will be making a presentation. We do work with at-risk girls, so we will be making a presentation at that particular institution.
And how do they contact you in case I want to get a ticket? No, not me, but you know.
Okay, well, you can call 376-2340. And we will have tickets available.
And thank you very much, Miss Janae Frances Ingram, who is here also giving her support. And thank you very much, Madam President. And
thank you.
I just know Dianekin's women having a conference. If you're Dianekin women, you come to the evening session?
Yes.
So
it's just the Monday morning session, which is business session is closed. But as of midday, you can join us for march and for mass.
And that's all
the other
Anglican
sessions.
Women.
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't have to be an Anglican. You can just come out. We have some interesting topics we will be discussing.
Nice. This has been Guardian Radio on AM with C.A. Nuri. And we're going to take a break now. And on the other side, we will be speaking with Miss Ruth, the Vineyard Boat. She has a big time book with selling all over the Bahamas now. And everyone's excited about it. So I'm excited to talk to her about that. But we'll be right back. Have a wonderful day.
On the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And you ever get sit down and get excited? I'm excited, actually, to have this guest with me. Who's Ruth? Ruth Bo, right? And Ruth Davina. I call her middle name, right?
No, it's Davina.
Davina.
But that's close enough. That's,
Yeah, you can be Davina.
Plenty of people get that wrong.
Yeah. And she is celebrating the publishing offer. This is the second book now?
My first book.
Well, how come I think you published a couple things then?
Well, I do. Do quite a bit of things, yes. I'm involved in a lot of different things.
Good.
Maybe that's how you know my name.
Yes.
So unless you know it from SAC.
There you go. We are a kindred spirit from SAC. Yeah,
yes.
That's a different topic altogether. And there's 12 keys to a blended harmony.
That's correct.
That's the name of the book, right?
Yes.
It is a guided journal for the extra mother.
Yes, it is.
And I saw the book and I said, extra mother? How you can have an extra mother? You always have one mother. Right? So I said, okay, come on, and you explain what you mean by this extra mother. And I don't want to know where I can pick up this book and why should I buy this book? Because I already got one for the wife, right? And I said, okay.
Excellent.
I need to read it myself, right? And go in detail. I said, no, let me let you sell it on me.
Excellent.
Go
so
ahead.
The extra mother, that's that special individual, that extraordinary woman out there who has decided to be an integral part of someone else's child. Okay, so the person is not their child, but they want to make an impact. And so the extra mother could be a foster mother. It could be a mentor, a guardian, a teacher. It could be even the Grammy who plays that mother figure, that mother role, fill in the gaps for that mother who might be very busy or absent for whatever reason. And so this book is more than just about the extra mother. It's about community. It's a reminder of the whole the village mindset, getting back to the village mindset. Because, you know, we talk about the village, but not always do we get that right. Okay, and the book is about being able to, you hear the saying, going from A to B, we got to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
This book is about getting from point B to point B, which is from brokenness to blended. And so this book is one that's going to help those who read it to understand how to co-parent effectively. We have to help our community get from broken to blended CA.
And I want you to explain more, go in more detail about this from moving, transition from brokenness to blended, right? Inside the Bahamas, our home situations tend to be up and down, right? We have a number of blended families where there are three mothers inside a household, Grammy, auntie, and mother, right? And we've had a number of situations where step parents are involved. And a person like me who had a lot of godmothers, I have like a ton of godmothers who helped shape me, who grab me by the collar and say, this is what you do. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to be studying.
Right. It sounds
and
like
this,
you
understand
it.
Yeah. So I assume this book is about that.
Yes. And so godmothers are included in the extra mother. It's about that same concept that you're talking about, where when mommy wasn't around, someone else could have been around who made a difference, who made an impact, who made sure that you had the guidance that you need. And so when you talk about the different types of extra mother out there, one that always gets a lot of attention is the stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so the stepmom, these 12 keys help the stepmom to bring that balance, to understand the different stages of the blended family and how to get that brokenness that may have come from another relationship, how to get that brokenness into a blended family, to find that harmony that we all desire in our homes and in our families. So this is just stepmom's only part of it.
But Ruth, it ain't easy being a stepmother.
Well, mothering isn't easy either, but then stepmother is even worse. It's complex. But that is even more reason why we need that help. Mm-hmm. We need that book. We need those keys. And in the book, it also has uplifting scriptures. It has some affirmations for you. It has different journaling is already, I don't know if you do it, but it's very therapeutic. It helps journaling. Trust me, it makes it, okay, listening Bahamas out there, if you're not journaling, it's time to start. But in particular, you even have situations. Sometimes there's a tragedy where a child could lose both parents. And so even the extra mother speaks to the foster parent that decides to take on these parents. Someone needs to fill the gap. Someone needs to help with that brokenness to help them to get to blendedness, because otherwise we're going to have a society of a lot of broken children that become adult CA. And so we have to find a way to deal with this. We have to find a way to get to raise our resilience when it comes to broken families. And the reality is, while the nuclear family, that's what we aim for. We all aim for that. When we go to the altar, we all aim for that to work, but sometimes it just does not. And so we have to embrace our opportunity for second chances. And this book just gives people a guide, 12, not too much because you know how we go when it's plenty, 12 secure ways of helping you to get closer to that harmony that we need here in the Bahamas.
Let's explore those 12 ways. What are those 12 ways?
Well, you want me to give all the 12 ways on the radio and then you get the book?
No, you have to get the book. I want to know what people can anticipate. Like, why should I go out and seek this book out?
Okay.
Why should I have a copy? Like I said, I bought one for the wife, right? Mm. And I said, you got to read this. Mm. But there are other people that are listening and say, but so what is it?
Okay, let me just give you an example then. So one of the keys speak to creating a mission statement for your blended family. Just that activity alone. So the book also has activities that could help you bring about this harmony that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So coming up with a mission statement for your family that everyone can agree with and say, this is our aim. This is where we headed. This is where we want to be. So that's just one aspect of it. Another aspect that I can share would be a lot of the activities it talks about, you know, things that you can do together so that the child can recognize that you're interested in what they are interested
so
in.
So is activities important for a blended family?
Oh, absolutely.
A stepmother, a godmother say, hey, let's as a family do this.
It is very important, because that's when we create the memories. That is when we create the relationships, and we build those relationships that last for a lifetime, because this blendedness is not going to end just at that child. Then when they have children, now you have a bonus grandchild out of this blended harmony relationship. And so getting this co-parenting dynamics right, no, it's not easy, but if we could work towards getting it better, then I believe that a lot of the societal observations that I see on a daily basis, we'll start seeing the curve change, right? We have to do something, see, about this curve.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of brokenness. We see it in the behaviors of people out there and the crime and the lack of a conscience on some of these things that are going on. I heard the news and they're talking about rape and all these attacks and everything. And these are our children doing these things. And it only, in my mind, it's part of the brokenness. And I think that we all have to realize what role we play in trying to help getting from broken to blended, getting that harmony.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned steps. I assume the book gives you guidelines on what all I can do if I feel lost. If I just a stepmother, right? I'm a stepmother. And I realize that there is a disconnect between my new family, but I want it to improve.
Right.
I want it to improve. Does the book give you like ideas on what can you do to improve?
Absolutely. And the book also talks about the support networks, establishing those support networks up front, not waiting until there's a crisis, but coming up with, let's say, your top six, who would you go to if you needed guidance on this? So that way you put some proactive thinking in place as to who will I go to if I have this issue with my blended family, if I have this issue with my bonus child, if the biological father is not doing enough about helping me to achieve this. So in the book, it also speaks to the role of the biological father in this and the communication that you have to have with them. In fact, it also talks about the communication with the biological mother. And there are many stepmoms out there who may be like, it won't be me. Talk to the biological mother. However, someone has to be the bigger person in this. If we're going to help this child, who should be our key focus, not only focus because we are important too. So it also, the book also speaks about self-care and all of this, because this is a complex situation here. But I'm just telling you that we have the opportunity to take brokenness and make something beautiful out of it and create that harmony. But we need a guide. I've recognized that in society, what we see going on, we need a guide. And so this is just the start. I'm sure there may be others out there who may have other things that they can add to help us to see the curve change. But everyone just have to do their part. And this is Ruth D's part, the 12 keys to blended harmony.
Let's talk about the godmother and the auntie.
Right.
Right? There are some times when the godmother and the auntie need to step up.
Yes.
Because something isn't working properly. And
right.
Or the mother needs extra support. Or the father needs extra support.
That's
say,
true.
Hey, I need help here.
Yes.
Right? Or just the role of the godmommy.
Say, right.
You're supposed to be there as someone to push me forward.
Right.
So as a rock.
Mm-hmm. So with the godmother, there's two parts to it. One, it's the person who selected this individual to say, I really need you to play this role. And that person being willing to raise their hand when they need help. Now, a lot of us strong women out there, we don't even know how to raise our hand when we need help, right? Mm-hmm. So we are hoping that the godmother observes the need to say, hey, can I help out? But that may not always happen because so much things going on. So we have to be okay with saying we need help.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that way, the godmother. So I know of a situation last week where there was a mom who had to travel and his mother's there at the school. And so the godmother stepped in and the godmother was in the photograph.
Godies do them?
Godies. Yeah, godies. There's great godies out there. But again, we as women have to be okay with raising our hand and say, hey, I need you to fill in this gap for me. And then also godmothers, they know that they made this commitment, making time for things of that nature, that's important.
I find that, especially with this new generation, and we don't understand our roles, and we mentioned godmothers, right, that they want to do well, they want to be involved in their godchildren's lives, but they don't know how. There's no plan, or I'd say, what I can do, or how can I get involved. And you say your 12 keys to a blended harmony can give me ideas, or give the godmother ideas on what you can be doing to improve this blended family?
That is correct. Each of the keys, each one has an activity or two connected to it. So it gives you a guide as to what you can do. You might have to add a little twist based on your godchild and you know what they like or don't like. But each one has an activity to help you through and say, you know what, I think I can try it. And the thing is, don't be upset if you try and it doesn't work. Go to the next activity because not everyone is the same. But what I can say is that we have to be very cognizant about the children involved in all of these blended families. And if all of us do our part, these children will have a better success rate at being able to also understand harmony for themselves and be more aware of how it could be so beautiful to have more than one person pouring into you, more than one mother pouring into you. And when you talk about the godmother, you talk about the aunties, it's also a mentoring mindset, you know. And so the book speaks to that, the mentor that's also the extra mom. So right now I know that even my sister, she fills that gap. If I'm busy, which I'm always busy, she is there to take my daughter where she needs to go and do whatever. And they just have to, aunties, I know some great aunties out there. In fact, sometimes the child may call the auntie before they call the mommy. And so they have to realize, and some of them aren't even biological mothers, but they are doing their part. And if we all get this whole idea about the village mindset coming back, I remember when I was growing up, my village was there to me. They still, they you know, those aunties who you call aunties and who even related to you,
mm-hmm.
they just auntie so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That was so important to me. They made a big impact on my life. And so if we have dropped that as a value, we need to get it back.
But the good thing about the Bahamas is that Grammy is always there, right? But sometimes Grammy don't know her role, right? just Grammy thinks she's a mommy,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh.
And I assume there are activities and steps where Grammy could still feel important, still be involved, but don't be overbearing.
Right. So the book also speaks about undermining the biological mother.
See, look
and what
you
do. I'm
you
telling
got.
You.
Mm-hmm.
So it talks about even the godmother, the aunties, the Grammy and everything. You still have to have an appreciation for the values that the mother wants instilled in their child. So the book speaks about boundaries. And the book also speaks about embracing others who may love your children. And so it will definitely guide you when it talks about that, crossing those paths and when you're stepping over the line, so Grammy could know, okay, you're crossing the line now. But again, if you have that conversation up front, mm-hmm. and you know how to set the tone, then there won't be as much friction mm-hmm. in this whole trying to blend. Because their Grammy, they love that. In fact, some Grammys sing that the child belonged to them.
Yeah.
And they know what's best because they've been here longer, they're wiser and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then again, the biological mother may have a different thing in mind as to what they want for their children.
What about those unrealistic expectations of godparents, right? Because my...
Give me an example. You talking about buying the gifts?
I talk about buying the gifts. I talking about buying the uniform for school when school opening. You know, school opening as the body, you're supposed to buy it. In fact, I short... And where the school fees, and as a Gaudi, you know you need to give your half.
You love something.
You need something towards it. Birthday coming, you need to pay for the bouncing castle. And and you know, I say it facetiously, right?
Yes,
but
I know.
We don't know, again, the role of godparents, right? And I know your 12 keys to blended harmony gives, role plays, but steps and examples and activities is the word you used, right? On where and how we can improve this blended family. But I see I have one or two texts now asking me to, boy, these godparents be, these mothers be demanding of these godparents. But how can the book impact that relationship between godparent, godmothers in particular, and the mother, it's the actual mother.
Mm-hmm. So see, I think you're referring to financial struggles. I mean, that's real, right? We know that struggle is real. And a lot of times, even in these single parent homes where the godmother may be, you're saying they're asking, but what I'd also say to is to godmothers, don't start anything that you can't finish. Mm-hmm. Know your limitations up front and be able to have that open communication. If you can't do it this time, you know, don't wait till last minute. If you know last year, you help with the school fee and you know, thanks, ain't thanks. This year, I think that, you know, just opening up that channel of communication early, then that way the mother won't have that expectation. Sometimes we put a lot of this pressure on ourselves to see as godparents. Mm-hmm. What we start, we may not be able to finish, or what we start, we didn't establish it properly. Mm-hmm. And so this expectation of this huge gift, and then next year it's small because things in my financial position have changed. And so I think with godparents, many times they're people who you would have had a relationship with for years. So you should have a good communication line and channel going on. Just talk about it up front. But I do know that there are some, or it is said, that parents choose based on your financial capability. They choose godparents. But that really should not be the focus. Mm. It really should not be the focus. But... you know, it's lovely to have a godmother who could give wonderful gifts. Yeah, I wouldn't even deny that. That's a wonderful thing. But if they cannot, does it really, does it mean that they don't love you? Does it mean that they can't spend time with you? And for me, time is the greatest gift. Mm-hmm. Spending time, taking time to talk to them about challenges they may have in their season. If it's a teenager, you might need the godmother to step up the plate more so to have that communication channel with your child more than the gift.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked to about the extra mother.
Mm-hmm.
What about the extra daddy, the support, the idea that you're a single mother, right? I'm talking about this book. Should I say that you're a single mother, you need a male figure inside that family. Can I buy this book and get like some ideas on what I can do to make sure my this boy child get that mentorship he needs?
Right. So I have had feedback from some of my readers and they said, listen, the fathers need this too, those extra fathers. And so I believe that the keys are interchangeable with extra mothers and extra fathers. And I totally agree with you. Having that, I know what it is to have a bonus dad.
Mm-hmm.
And my children have a bonus dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been phenomenal. And so I believe that they can also benefit from this book.
And is the book easy reading? So, because, you know, we have a lot of teenage mothers. Or young mothers. Let's say young mothers, right? Without the experience. And need inspiration and ideas and activities and concepts to do. Say, well, let me grow this child up properly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this additional support from other mothers and other bonus daddies, right? Can this book give support? And what for those Grammys who are of a different generation? Does the book provide?
Well, that's what we need for sure for that generational gap. Yes, it can provide support for the young mothers. I would encourage even the church groups the women's ministries to purchase the book for those persons who would be in your women's ministry. And y'all have a book club. And have a book club and go through each key one at a time, and you journal together and you share different experiences together. And I think that it would be a great time of bonding and the impact that it will have. And so a lot of times, this has been a topic that many people don't even like to talk about, right? But it's real. It's right in our face. And so we have to start talking about this. And so the young mothers, most definitely, they can benefit from this. And then also, too, they need to find a mentor. And so I also do that type of coaching as well. But find a mentor, because we don't know everything and there is no real manual, but this is a great guide.
So this book is a guide for mentors, those who do mentoring for young women and young men, those who church groups and activities that could be bonded, teenage mothers and mentoring, they could have this book. Women of a different generation who wants to connect to the younger generation, right? And where can I find this book, though?
This book, you can contact me directly through my Facebook, Ruth D. Bow, and it's also available at Logos Bookstore, which is in Harbor Bay. It's also available at All Seasons, All Occasions, that's in Palmdale, and it's on Amazon as well.
So I can get this book on Amazon?
Yes, you can.
And
it's on Amazon.
So what's the official name? Because I know I was reading things backwards, right?
The official name is 12 Keys to Blended Harmony. It's a guided journal for the extra mother.
I like that.
Yes.
I'm thumbing through the book right now, and I see that it's like an activity book, too, that we can actually write comments and read and have
your... And go back, too, so you could even see your growth. At the end of the day, you want to see your growth even through the keys. Okay, so as you go through the keys, it even helps you to reestablish goals for each key. Based on what you've learned in the goal, learned from the activity, you can now go back and say, okay, how do I want to change my approach? And then after you've done the 12th key, you can go back and see your own growth. And so that journaling, that guide, it helps you in the whole holistic approach to this blended harmony that we need to see in our society.
I see a theme for reflection, right?
Yes.
Why is reflection so important for a blended family or blended harmony?
Reflection,
like you said,
it helps. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Reflection is critical because it helps us to see where we've come from, where we're going, and also to what our full, before we may not have believed what our potential was. And then as you reflect, one, you could either say, hey, you know what, I could have done that differently, I could have done that better. Or you could say, I really did a great job with that, and so I will continue to push. And so self-reflection is also important.
Good. I'm actually talking with Ruth. So I was going to say Ruth Darvill. Ruth Davinia Bow. Her phone number is
4225-105. That's
right?
Correct.
She's a human resource development manager. What is that?
Human resource manager at Queen's College.
Yes. So you round children all the time?
I'm round children all the time. More than that, even before I went to Queen's College, I would have been an executive advisor in Junior Achievement, and I've mentored about 400 students, some of which they call me mommy. So I've been in this for a while, and I know what it feels like to see your bonus child come from brokenness to blended to harmony. And so making something beautiful out of a child who is, you know, yearning for that mentor. I've been a part of youth groups where they say, how do I find a mentor? And so this mentoring mindset, we all have to realize that we can make a huge difference if we just take an extra 10 minutes out of our day to mentor our youth, our young people.
I have a text here asking for definitions of the various words you use: stepmother, godmother, blended family, harmony. I assume there are definitions inside
the book. There are definitions inside the book for every single one of those things. That's correct. It's in the book. It's because I want to make sure that you understand every aspect of the role before you even dive into the book. So the book speaks to the definition. It defines it. The book also helps you to establish what stage of this blended family am I at. Am I at the honeymoon stage? Am I at a chaos stage? Am I at a full integration? So there are different stages. And then you have to do an assessment first. Then you could get into the keys, because if you don't understand where you're at and try to say where you want to go, which is also will also be a part of your mission statement, then, you know, that's the beginning of this process.
And you mentioned mission statement from the beginning, and again, what about goals? Like, there should be, I assume there are goals that where you are and that end goal of this harmony and blended family, a comfortable and perfect
a blended family, does the book identify goals where you should be going or steps away you should be accomplishing?
Well, you're going to, it helps you to establish your own goals because it's so many different dynamics out there when it comes to the blended harmony or the blended family. So it helps you to create these goals. It gives you a guide on how to break those goals down. And it also helps you at the end of the book, where am I now in this whole process? Mm-hmm. And even at the end of the book, it helps you to come up with your own affirmation. So mm-hmm. I give you affirmations for your blended family and for yourself, as well as now you have the opportunity to create an affirmation that you can try to review as often as you want to. And you know how repetition is. When you repeat something over and over again, it becomes a part of you. And so the book is really a great tool.
I look like
a great tool for the community.
One for my daughter now.
Yes.
Right? You know, just to know the importance of family and how families can work and network like that. But give me your deets again, where to find the book, how to get in contact with you, so if persons want to purchase the book.
Okay, so this is Ruth D, and my phone number is 422-5105. You can contact me directly for the book. It is also available at Logos Bookstore, Harbor Bay, as well as All Seasons, All Occasions in Palmdale, and it's also available on Amazon.
You know, I just want to thank you for actually writing this book and seeing how important it is to Bohemian families at this present time. So mm-hmm. I just want to take the time out and say that, right?
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. I am also having discussions on this book. So that,
really?
Yeah, I started having dynamite discussions where even this tomorrow I'll have one to talk about the burden of baby mama drama. So stay tuned.
Where's it going to be? Quickly.
On Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
And
okay.
At Studio Cafe.
Guardian Raven AM, and we were talking to Ruth.
Debo.
Debo. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.